Welcome to the Supercoach Coach Round 5 Review Podcast. We're joined this week by a special guest, PK Dunn or Dunny from Dream Team Talk.
How you going, guys?
Welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, Mark or FB Donkey's joining us as per usual. We'll start off this week by letting you guys know exactly how we scored on the weekend. And we'll include our Dream Team scores as well because... Dunny's with us. So, Mark, I scored 23.94 and crushed you this week.
Ooh.
Yes, I brought in, I did a double trade in the end. Sam Mays came in for Need, and I had Steve Johnson come in for Jack Viney. So, Johnson on debut, 160 points. Big point of difference for me, so I'm very happy with that. But I screwed up a little bit, guys, with the vice-captaincy situation. So made a novice mistake. I put the vice-captaincy on Pendlebury, and I thought, you know, I'll keep the 136 because Gary's got a sore hand. And then I realized a bit later on after Gary had already played that I'd already put the E on Sam Rowe. So it locked me out from using Curry for the loophole, and I chucked the C on Dean Cox, only notched up 105. And for the first time, I played Jones over Stevens, which also... was a 55 and so 82. So probably should have just stuck with the old captaincy and rookie choices on ground this week. It would have been even more ahead of you, Mark.
Yeah, woe is you, mate. I did have Ablett captain, but I managed to get 23.30, which I was on 27.75 going into the last game, and Buddy just stunk it up. So 23.30, it seems above average, but gee, the competition is pretty fierce up the top. So I'm not sure what that's going to do to my ranking. How'd you go, Donny?
Pulled out a 23.93 this week. So I was 1 point behind you, Marcus.
Woo!
The only trade I made this week was Viney to Mays, and actually had Mays on the field, which I was pretty happy about.
That is a very good result. How'd you go in Dream Team, boys? Donny?
Dream Team this week, I was a 21.09. Got caught out with Chappie being an out there, so I kept him, but I used him for the captain loophole situation. But I had Sam Rowe on the field with his 31, which really hurt me.
Damn.
21.61, and the players that hurt me were having Luke Brown as an emergency for Pittard, and Stevenson, of course, you know, not selected with 82 on bench. And I had Dwyer let me down a little bit with a 47 as well. So apart from that, pretty good score, and hopefully can rise a little bit.
And I actually beat you in Dream Team this week. That's why we're talking about it. 21.76 for me. I had Rockliffe as captain just because I don't have Ablett and I wasn't happy with Swanee's score. And Rockliffe had a big last quarter, so I was pretty happy with that. He was my second highest scoring player. And I brought Stevie J into Dream Team this week, so pretty happy with that return. Let's get on to the round review, boys. The first game, could we start in a better place? 93,000 at the G on Thursday, the last post, and it was an emotional experience. Zaharakis won the Anzac Day medal, killed it. I think he kicked three, plenty of the ball. Watson killed it again. Bombers, big, big last quarter. The Pies looked like they were getting back in at 5 minutes into that last quarter, but boys stood up. And again, Swan and Pendlebury dominated that game, and Heath Shaw, a good game. Heath Shaw looks like he might be someone worth bringing in.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with Heath Shaw in that game, actually. I liked the way he scored and the way he swung across halfback there as well.
Sammy Dwyer only scoring the 38, so I think his price will start to stall now, and he should be pretty plump for a trade-out this week with Paparone and Kerridge both on the bubble. So I think a few people might be looking at that.
He might struggle to keep his spot after this week, won't he?
Now, Saints v Swans game, we had Nick Rewalt with a return to old with 152 Supercoach points. He racked up 27 disposals and 13 marks, kicked the two goals. Saints put out a valiant fight, but they still lost to the Swans by 16 points. How'd you guys see the game? Josh Kennedy scored 109 and Kieran Jack 114, so the regular Sydney premium midfielders notching up the points there.
Yeah, I thought that that the Sydney stars, as you say, like Kennedy and Hanbury and Kieran Jack came to the fore there. One that I was impressed with is actually Lenny Hayes with his 131. He seems to be really playing quite well this year, and been pretty impressed with his efforts.
Hanbury dominated that first half and then didn't quite get into it in the second half. Pretty boring game, to be honest. I didn't have any players in it, so probably wasn't as watching it as closely as the other games across the weekend.
We had, of course, the two rookie debutants, Saunders and Brody Murdoch, with both scoring 29. So that's a pretty poor debut. We'll look out for them in the future, but they both seem pretty small, so I'm not sure about their scoring potential or even their job security moving forward.
Saunders was the sub, so he's probably the one to look out for me.
And the other one, I think, which is a bit disappointing, was Tom Lee with his 17. I know he got the red vest there, but there was a lot of high hopes for him in the preseason.
Just hasn't lived up to him at all. Now, move on to the big game from Friday night, Richmond versus Freo. Richmond continued their let's lose a close one run from last year. A lot of controversy over the goal line incident. What do you guys think?
There's a lot of controversy. You know, I think the ball's probably going to hit the post, but I just think those goal umpires have got to get out of the way.
I was very encouraged by Nick Vlastun's first performance for the Richmond Tigers. He only scored 39 Supercoach points, but with his 11 disposals and 4 tackles, I thought he showed a lot of toughness and good composure in the contest. And I think you should be seeing some decent scores coming out of him in the future. And he might even be able to stick a gig in that side because he played some pretty good football, I thought.
In the first half,
I agree with that one, Marcus.
And then he just went completely missing in the second half, I thought.
As I say, I think he had a good first half, probably just ran out of legs and the pressure of the game in that second half may have got to him. Pretty keen to see him again next week and just see exactly what he can do.
Now, we really do need to talk about my man Cochin, don't we? I think it was 71 about nearly 10 minutes into the last quarter and ended up on 144. I think he got 20 points for the tap that he did in the forward line to Matty White running into an open goal. Massive last quarter from Cochin and very, very happy to have him in my team.
Yeah, he's been fantastic and, you know, very consistent as well. We've seen a few of the ultra premiums already succumb to a poor score here and there, but Cochin doesn't even look close to that at the moment. So for those of you looking to, you know, navigate your upgrades around the buys, he's a round 11 buy player. So you might look to, you know, swap a round 12 or round 13 rookie to him.
Guys, what are your thoughts on Brett Delidio? Is he someone that people should be looking at for their midfield?
Well, he looks like he's going to cop the number one tag for the Tigers now because they've tagged him the last 2 weeks and it's really affected his ability to influence the game. But he's still posted like a 99 and a 102. So in that sense, if he gets tagged and still posts hundreds, then it's probably not too bad. And but his price probably isn't going to drop low enough to be bringing him in.
I'm surprised that tag's not going to Cochin, to be honest, but...
I think that they see, I think that they say Lids is more taggable, and Cochin's disposal efficiency is like 55%, whereas Delidio's is like 75. So, if you can affect Delidio's possessions, then you might be having more effect on the contest. I guess is how coaches are looking at it.
And with those players with so much pace to be able to move out of a pack really quickly and just accelerate into space, you want to put a bit more body contact on those sort of players just because even a small knock will knock them offline and that changes their ability to run out and use their damaging foot skills. So, yeah, I wanted to get your guys' views on David Mundy. He had a great start, you know, obviously that 120 where he outscored Fife in the first round and owners of Mundy would have been getting their hopes up. He scored 84, 91, 110. And in the win over the Tigers, he only scored 63. So how do you guys see him? Because he only registered 17 disposals.
I think he just had a shocker, to be honest. He was tagged by Jackson in the first half, and then that tag moved to Fife in the second half. But he just he kicked the ball out in the full 2 or 3 times. One of them was pretty unlucky. And like even Salwood has posted a 60 this year. And I think that I wouldn't be too concerned as a Mundy owner. The issue being that either Fife or Mundy are going to get tagged. And I think at the moment coaches are thinking that Mundy's probably a bit more, a bit like the Richmond situation, that Mundy's a bit more damaging with his disposal. So they're actually going to him first.
Yeah, I think, as you say, he just struggled to get into the game on Friday night. That pressure that Jackson put on him in that first half was just huge. And then he obviously went and shut down Fife for the rest of the game. But I agree. I think he is a very damaging player once he gets a bit of space.
All right, let's move on to the new teams, GWS versus Gold Coast. Gary Ablett, 160. I know a lot of people doubted him. Marcus, you were going to take the 136 from Pendles.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Even though you've sort of agreed with me that you'd always rather put Gary as the vice captain if you can, just because you'd rather see what he does first because he can go so big and very impressive 160, a couple of amazing goals again. Yeah, great performance. I guess the two other talking points from Gold Coast from that are Charlie Dixon with his 6 goals, another big score. He hasn't had a bad one yet. And
yeah,
Jagerbomb 119, also really good.
Yeah, I think those 6 goals from Charlie Dixon, and he could have had more than that. I think, you know, from what I remember watching, he missed 2 or 3 easy ones as well. So yeah, he's really taken off this year. He's been really the surprise packet for me from Gold Coast.
We'll keep moving, guys. We'll talk about Carlton versus Adelaide. I don't really want to have to talk about Patrick Dangerfield again. Every week we're talking about him on the show. With Walker going down, he might have to play forward a bit more. He just went missing for really large periods of the game. And I thought that, okay, the ball's around the midfield, he must be sitting up forward. But then the ball would get down to the forward line and he was nowhere to be seen there either. So really not sure what's going on with Danger. And I had the chance to trade him out last week to Swanee, and I probably should have taken it last week, and because he's just lost me even more money, and I'm not quite sure what to do this week. Anything else from that game, boys?
Tex's injury, I think owners of Josh Jenkins could hopefully see a bit of an improvement. But yeah, once Tex went off, Josh Jenkins really still struggled and only kept with the 44. I guess you'll see Paul Pleasure come back into that side, or even McKernan, who I believe kicked 3 or 4 in the SNFL on Saturday night. But yeah, I think, you know, their forward options are going to really be limited.
Now, did you get a look at Rory Laird? Do you guys know much about him? Because he did play his second game, came on early as a sub because of Walker, and scored a decent 69. So maybe he's someone to look out for in the coming week.
I've seen him play a few SNFL games this year and last year, and he certainly looks a good type.
Excellent. Especially over Kerridge, who was tagging. Yeah. And
3 touches. Yeah. He only managed 3 touches, but you just wonder, how can you keep your spot if you only manage 3 touches? You got to at least produce something on the other way. So his spot would be a tiny bit of a worry, I would have thought. Luke Brown went off with a concussion early, and he's only managed 23 points. So his price is going to stall again, and people might be looking to cash him in for Doherty this week, I think.
Or even Laird, who might actually be a better option than Doherty, who knows. But yeah, Brown, the fact that that's probably his 4th game and he's only actually managed to get through 2 of them, it would be a concern. And even if he's playing well, I think that Adelaide would be a bit worried that he's not actually managing to play out games, and he did have sort of an injury history last year. So I do have Brown, so I am a little bit worried about him and probably will be looking to move him on, even though he hasn't earned as much as I was hoping. Now, Carlton really coming into a good run over the next 5 or so weeks. Is there anyone from the Blues that looks tempting to you guys?
I reckon Heath Scotland is someone who I was pretty impressed with his game on the weekend. He came up with a 99, seemed to be getting across the ground like he was when he's been having those really good scoring years in the past. So be keeping a close eye on him, I think.
Might be a cheaper defensive option. Mm-hmm. Juddy or Murphy, either of you guys?
I think Judd's a bit past it now in terms of a super coach scorer. If he was in a top 4 team, maybe a bit different, but I don't think he has the Goliath ability to just put the team on his shoulders and run anymore. And he just seems to fade in and out of games a bit as well. So I was more looking toward Murphy, but he's been quite disappointing. Mm. He had 26 disposals, 7 tackles, a goal, and 5 marks. Now, like, that sounds like a pretty decent statistical game, but he only managed 99 points. This whole year he's been disappointing. We've seen teams have been trying to expose his lack of defense, and we saw Taylor Hunt kick a few goals on him as well. So I'm not quite sure whether he's handling the captaincy very well, and that's just a little bit of a worry for me. But he's very cheap at the moment, and he was a lock for mine for a top 8 midfielder. So I'll certainly have to give him a proper look, because they're about to play Melbourne, Saints, Port Adelaide, Brisbane and GWS.
Now, we should probably quickly reference Gibbs, who got subbed out of that game. Luckily, everyone had him because he got subbed out for 65. I think he looked pretty good before that as well. But my understanding is that it was hamstring tightness or something. And I think they said on 3AW that he would probably miss next week. But we'll have to hear more from that during the week. But with a few other backs maybe in trouble of getting up this week, that could put a few bit of pressure on teams.
Yeah, I read somewhere that they said Pittard was only a 40-60 to line up next week. Do you know if that's right, Donny?
I haven't heard any more on that one. The only other, I'd heard it was sort of a bit of a general soreness type injury, but I must admit I didn't hear much around town that he was going to miss, to be honest.
Yeah, because I think I saw that today in the Herald Sun. They said 40-60 for next week because of quad soreness. So I think it was more significant than just maybe 1 week or so. Keep your eye out. We might be in a little bit of a tight spot next week.
First donuts of the year.
Maybe. Now, to the biggest upset of the round, and this will be Dunny's highlight of the round as well, Port getting up over the West Coast Eagles. It was a great game to watch, and I just wouldn't have picked Port getting back at halftime. And I think a few minutes into the third quarter, there was something like 40 points down, and just somehow got the win. And great effort to your boys. I didn't pick it. My mate tipped it, and I thought it was crazy, but they did it, and led by Hamish Hartlett.
Absolutely. It was just an amazing turnaround. At halftime, I was sitting there at the game thinking, oh, great, here we go again. We've had our 4 weeks of glory, and now we're back to the last year performances. But, look, it was a tremendous turnaround, led really by a couple of young guys and who obviously scored pretty well. And Hamish Hartlett, Chad Wingard with his 93 points, he's becoming quite relevant to that side. You know, he picks up a few goals and gets a lot of possession through the midfield. Ollie Wines again, 82, didn't have as much of an outstanding night as he has recently, but he played really well. And Travis Boak's been really leading from the front. 95 points, kicked a couple of crucial goals, which probably boosted that score up a bit as well.
How good was Jake Need in that second half? I know pre-season there was talks that he was quick, but he didn't have much of a tank. But gee, in that last quarter, he ran past a few people.
Absolutely. There's a couple of performances from him on the outer wing where he just grabbed the ball and just pushed off and just ran. I was one of the doubters in the preseason. I thought, oh, this kid's too light. He's too small. I think he's only about 68 kilos. And I picked him to play in the SANFL for the majority of the year. But, he's well and truly earned his spot, and I can't see him losing it. Probably one other guy that will be potentially relevant, he's had the sub best for the last 2 weeks now, is Robbie Gray. He had 73 points. He only came on sort of halfway through that third quarter and was, I think, pretty crucial in us keeping that momentum going in that last quarter. So, yeah, he's obviously on the bubble this week.
Surely you've been burned by Robbie Gray before, though.
I have. And if he played for any other club, I probably wouldn't even consider him.
Now, do you know anything about Campbell Heath? Apparently he copped an ankle knock or...
Yeah, they were working on him during that third quarter, actually, when Gray came on. And I don't really know quite what happened to him. I didn't see anything obvious happen. But, he came back out, obviously. So I'm not sure what happened there.
Let's just hope he gets up for this week, because we definitely might need him if the carnage of the back players continues, as we were sort of discussing with Gibbs. Now, Lewis Stevenson, he had a big last quarter and a late inclusion. You'd think he'd hold his spot after a performance like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was a bit surprised to see him drop, to be honest. I thought he's been playing pretty well. He sort of pushes up through the through the halfback and midfield as well. So I was a bit surprised to see him drop out of the side.
And it was, as a non-owner, it was great to see Justin Westhoff finally have a poor game and someone finally own him.
Yeah, he didn't have a great night. He was well and truly kept out of it in the first half. Off the top of my head, I think he only had about 6 points at quarter time or something like that. Yeah, I thought he struggled a bit.
He did do a couple of important things in the last quarter, like marks and just being in the right spot at the right time. Josh Kennedy was 97 at halftime, finished on 120. Really didn't do much after that, I guess, represented the Eagles in general, but They looked like the Eagles from last year in the first half. They dominated the game. They looked like they were going to smash it. And then just fell apart, I guess, the fact that Pritis was subbed out in the first few minutes after getting concussed was a big factor in that.
The other guy I was a bit surprised to see his score was, then when I thought about it, probably not, was Bo Waters with 71. He seemed to get a lot of it, but I don't know that his disposal in that second half really, I don't think he was very efficient from memory.
Now, Marcus, I know on Thursday and Friday you were talking to me about bringing Bo Waters in instead of CBJ, so things could have turned out quite differently.
Yeah, I was going to bring in, I think I was going to bring in Waters and Mays, but I ended up bringing Mays and Jono. So, yeah, very happy with that decision. I think 90 points in the first round, so hopefully that continues. But more importantly, Waters is going to drop a tiny bit in price, which I'm really looking forward to. I've been trying really hard to look for defenders with around 12 buy, so he's one of the rare few that score well around 12 buy.
Now, moving on to the next game, what are the chances that all three hosts of this podcast tonight would be undefeated after the first 5 weeks? Geelong versus Doggies, easy win for the Cats, wasn't it, Marcus? I know that Danny was at the Port game and I watched most of the Port game, so didn't really see a lot of this game.
It was a pretty good game. It wasn't particularly exciting to watch. Geelong got out in front and pretty much kept it that way. Harry Taylor was a monstrous effort with 5 goals, and I think he's got to be the best swingman in the competition. I don't think any defender can go forward and kick goals like he can. And 78 and 44, disappointing his first 2 rounds, but he's since scored 103, 125, and now this 138.
It's just a bit too inconsistent for mine. He'll probably end up with a decent average by the end, but you might pick him up and he just as he goes on a period of 360s in a row or something rather than the 3 150s.
Sorry, was the 138 a lot to do with, did the dogs not put any pressure on him, or was he just allowed to run free?
Most of the goals came from just outmarking the opposition defenders, so dogs don't have really good tall. So it won't happen week to week, but he does get intercept marks, and you'd think that, you know, if they're going to start flinging him forward, that he might get some decent, well, a bit more consistency to his scoring maybe, but yeah, probably a bit of an out there selection. But I know some people are looking at him in the preseason, and yeah, interesting selection. Joel Selwood was disappointing with only 87 points and 20 disposals. It's its second game that he's been a bit influenced by the tagger. Nick Lower just got to him. And of course, I think he had a 60 or 70 a couple of weeks ago when he was held to 15 disposals as well. So a tiny bit disappointing. But off the back of his 163, he's not going to fall too much in price. I think he'll just be under 600K this week.
And Marcus, Mark Blitzavs, four possessions, two disposals. Two marks, 27 points. Time to unload him if you got him sitting on the bench?
Yeah, I think so. And he's got more games than I thought he would as well. So he's done well, and you'd think that he's not going to pull out a monster score anytime soon. So that 27 is going to grind his price movements to a screeching halt, I would have thought. We've got to see two rookies again playing the second games for the Western Bulldogs in Stringer and McRae. Stringer impressed me the most out of the two. Of course, McRae was the sub, so it was pretty hard to have an impact. But Stringer had 10 disposals and 3 goals and really made the most of his opportunities. He was playing on Cam Guthrie, who was a late in, and it was a good day for him to go out and kick a few goals. And I think that he should keep his spot in the team. He's a big boy and he's on the bubble this week, so he'd be a player to look out for. The only issue, I think he's got a high price tag, is that right, boys?
175, I think. Now, yeah. I heard someone say that Kobe Stevens was playing down back. Did you notice that?
I actually noticed him lining up on Steve Johnson a little bit here and there. So, yeah, I did see that a little bit. He pulled out 20 disposals and 82 Supercoach points. So I wasn't really expecting that because I benched him. So he'll be in for some pretty nice price movements going forward, and very encouraging after only 55 last week.
Sure. Now we'll move on to the Melbourne-Brisbane game from today. They didn't lose by a lot in the end. It was only 28 points, but fantasy-wise, they got absolutely smashed again. No one from Melbourne got 100. Colin Sylvia got 98, was the highest. And Brisbane got a lot of the points. Maloney had a big one playing against his old club. Zorko, 151. Now, there's going to have to be a lot of our listeners that have traded him out. If they started with him, they'd be pretty disappointed this week.
Yeah, he had 29 disposals and 3 goals, so an absolute Goliath effort. But they don't line up against the Melbourne Demons every week, so you'd be a bit sore if you traded him out. But hopefully the boy you traded in did a little bit better. Sammy Mays.
did either of you guys see the incident, I think it was in the third potentially, where he belted someone in the head, you know, gave him a bit of a smack on the head and they went down? I just wonder whether he's going to potentially be in a bit of trouble at the match review panel this week.
No, I'd move to the Hawthorn-North game by that stage.
It might be one of those not insufficient force.
It'll be interesting to see. It's a bit of a flip of a coin with these ones, whether, like you said, whether they actually get pinged for it off that type of vision. So he could very well go down after seeing it. Yeah. I thought he looked like he was gonna miss a week.
So we should probably mention while we're talking about the match review panel, Brett Goods, who elbowed Caddy in the head, and Caddy sort of was off for a decent amount of the game as a result. And he didn't get off the ground, but it didn't look good at all. So Goodsy might probably will cop a week or two for that, which will add to the backline carnage this week. It's all going to be about the backline, I think. Leuenberger was good, 118, kicked 2 goals in the first quarter, really impressive. And Sammy Mays, a lot of people would have brought him in this week. I think both of you guys did, is that right?
Yep,
and he was awesome. It was against Melbourne, but 95 points, and he just looked really composed, and I was really, really impressed by Sammy Mays' game today.
I think the other one that everyone picked up also was Michael Evans.
Yeah, he popped up with 73. It was cheap, and a lot of people would have brought him in. Matt Jones was a bit disappointing, 55. Turlick didn't do too bad with 77 up back. And as discussed, Doherty was a sub, scored 22 in the last quarter, which wasn't too bad. It'd be interesting to see if he gets picked this week. Paparone was probably a bit more disappointing with just 36 points, and he didn't touch the ball in the first quarter.
Debutant Clark had 7 disposals and 40 points. He did the job, a defensive job on Pedersen. It'll be interesting to see whether he can actually keep a spot this week.
Did you guys watch the last game? It was a big one.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a really exciting
very close
game.
in the end. 3 points. Now, it was hard for me to watch this and hard for me to enjoy the awesome display of football because I was just trying to watch Buddy Franklin and he was terrible. Like, I haven't seen him be that bad for a couple of years. He just couldn't mark the ball. He kept stumbling over the ball. He missed easy shots at goal. It was just all-round poor performance from Buddy. So, well done for the Hawks from winning with their star forward not doing so well.
Looking to bring him in a few weeks' time after his price has dipped a bit, and I think should be perfect timing. I think the 57 will cycle out of his price movements just before he has his awesome run. I think round 8, 9, 10, or they play Melbourne, GWS, Gold Coast, something like that. Great opposition during that period.
Next week he actually plays here at Amy Stadium against Adelaide, where I think he's got a pretty poor average at Amy. I think he's
got a few 50s and stuff there.
He doesn't tend to do well, yeah.
And then the week after he has Sydney. I did hear that, mate. Yeah. The week after he's got Sydney, and he was held goalless against Sydney last year. So I've got to be honest with you, this is why I didn't pick him at the start of the year, because I knew he had a tough draw. And I knew that you'd have to think that after kicking 13 against North last year that they were going to target him pretty heavily today and just make sure that that didn't happen again. So not a massive surprise, I guess. The other really big story coming out of this game was Cyril Rioli, who he was best player in the competition sort of form today. He was amazing. And then was trying to beat Atlee on the wing and he got up to full pace, trying to tap the ball in front of him and actually did his hammy and it didn't look good. And so Cyril, just as he starts showing amazing form, looks like he might be in a bit of trouble and miss a few weeks and require a trade as well.
One guy that I've got that I was pretty happy with was Todd Goldstein, 119. He had a pretty big last quarter from memory as well. Very happy with his performance today.
I call bullshit on that one, Dunny, because me and you were equal going into that last game and I had Buddy and you had Goldstein, so clearly I'm going to win most of them. And Buddy plays terrible. Goldstein was 60 at three-quarter time and ends up on 119.
No, I knew you weren't a fan of that one, mate. I don't know how he got there, but I don't know how he got that score in that last quarter. It must have been like those taps that Cochin had.
Yeah, well, I think he did have a lot of hit-outs to advantage in that last quarter, which really helped.
Yeah. Sammy Mitchell seemed to be back to his best as well today with 137 points, 28 touches, 7 marks and a goal.
Yeah, big last quarter too. It was good to see Birchall finally cop a proper tag and be at least kept down to a normal backman score and score an 80 after he's just been crushing.
Yeah, Mark's still a little bit bitter, I think.
Just because it's ridiculous how well he's been doing. It's been very hard to keep up with people that have had him. So, yeah, Hodgie, another 80. He had a massive last quarter. And Bradley Hill, I honestly thought that after his 36 last week that he'd probably almost maxed out in price. And then he scored a 90, 97 today and was really, really impressive after quarter time. Now,
just on that Luke Hodge one there, Mark, he didn't actually touch the ball in the first quarter either.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, he really came to play in that last three quarters. He did really well.
I think he was maybe even like 30 at three-quarter time and just got all those contests in the last quarter. It was a Luke Hodge-style performance, as you'd expect from him. Now, it looks like I've held on to second in Sportle as the results have just come through, so 34 points behind the leader. Our Sportle coach podcast will be out soon.
Well done to you, Mark. Hopefully I crack back into the top 1,000 after my score this round. And I think on Sportle, moved up a tiny bit. So I'm sitting 22nd, hot on your tails, Mark.
That is very close, mate. Do you think all of us will be undefeated after next week? The Bombers have got GWS, so we should be right.
We're playing North down in Hobart next week, so not sure on that one.
Big game. Who you guys got, Marcus?
Yeah, I think we've got Richmond, so it's a bit of a danger
game.
People might not expect that, but they've been performing very well in the midfield, and our midfield's been struggling a little bit. We struggled against the Dogs with the contested possession, so it'll be interesting to see how we go. It might be a bit of a danger game.
It's been great to have you on the show, Danny. Thanks heaps for coming across and talking to us. We've been reading the Friday Scramble and different things you've been posting on Dream Team Talk for quite a while, and it was great to have a chat to you tonight.
Well, thanks very much for having me, guys. It's really really great to look at the other side of the game, if you like. Play a bit of Supercoach, obviously, as well. So, yeah, it's been really, really good.
Yeah, I'm glad everyone got to see and hear about your Supercoach prowess in addition to the awesome work you're doing over at Dream Team Talk.
What was your ranking before this week, Danny?
In Supercoach?
Yeah.
My ranking before this week was 846.
Smashing both of us.
I hope to move up a bit with my 23.93 this week as well. So we'll see how we go.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to talk to Marcus about getting some worse coaches on the show, though.
Yeah, for the second week in the row, you're number three, Mark, and hopefully it'll be the same case next week. So all the best for the next few days. Enjoy the bragging at work, and we'll catch you guys on Wednesday night. We'll be releasing our regular podcast episode with the trade advice then. So thanks very much for the show again, Dunny, and best of luck.
Thanks, guys.